This week on The Chirp, Captain Spurgeon, what it's like at the trade deadline to be wearing the C for a club that bulks up. Jared Spurgeon talks about interacting with Marc-Andre Fleury, a player that he faced in the Stanley Cup playoffs a year ago, and now they're on the same side. It's Jared Spurgeon on The Chirp with Darren Millard.
Boys, I'm Mike today. Just let everyone know, don't say anything stupid.
Hit him, light him up, light him up.
Yeah, nice hit.
That's solid.
That's a disgrace.
Old man.
In doing the due diligence for the Chirp podcast with Darren Millard, I'd like to check around if I have never talked to this week's guest and just poke around, find some stories, not dirt necessarily, but just a little bit of background. This week's guest, Jared Spurgeon, should run for office. I'm just saying that right now. There's a whole bunch of compliments coming your way. Congratulations on the trade deadline bulk up. On a scale of 1 to 10, how are you feeling right now after the trade deadline?
Excited, obviously, when your GM goes out and makes moves like that, brings excitement to the group, and just getting to meet the guys the last couple of days and bring them into the group, whether we have practice today for the first time with everyone here. So it was great to meet everyone and just get them acclimated with the team.
Have you practiced yet? Just curious.
Today was our first one with okay. everyone here. So Jake just got here last night, so we're able to get it all in today and sort of go over some systems and stuff like that.
Did any of the three skaters blow a drill because they don't know what's going on?
No, I blew a drill trying to tell them what to do. I was too confused, so that was my bad. They're all flawless out there. It's my fault.
Must have been all kinds of energy. Great vibe.
Yeah. Like I said, the excitement when your GM goes out and makes moves, it shows the belief he has in the group we have here. And obviously, losing a guy like Capo that has been here for a while is always tough in the business when you get to know people and you're with them a long time. But at the same time, the excitement we had in the room and then obviously going out and playing Vegas that the other night and getting a win was big for us.
Do you talk to Billy as this process plays out?
I sort of let him do his thing. It's mm-hmm. not really my job to go in there and tell him what I'm thinking. He has such a great mind for the feel of the team, and obviously he's been through it as a player and now in the front office part of it. So you sort of just sit back and let him do his thing.
So then do you pick his brain about somebody like Flower that he knows so well?
Yeah, he was giving me some inside info on him today. So just
what did he tell you?
Keep a heads up around the locker room. I guess he's pretty active with some pranks and stuff like that. So no, I've heard nothing but great things, obviously, about all the guys that we had bring in. And then obviously meeting them the last couple of days, they fit in great.
The situation with Flower is unique because you've got an all-star goaltender. Is there any tiptoeing around with Cam, with Flower, and having a tandem like that?
I don't think so, just with how great of people they both are and great teammates. And obviously Cam's having a great year and obviously last game pitching a shutout. And but whenever you can have that combo, that's something that a lot of teams dream of having. So they're both great guys. And obviously, as we go forward, we'll see how it plays out. But obviously, it's like I said, a good problem to have.
I don't know whether you've done this yet or not, but I'm curious who's the first to bring it up between you and Flower that he was on the winning side of the game 7 last year.
He hasn't brought that one up yet, so that's good.
will you bring it up, or is there any laughing or joking about that?
I think maybe with Hartsy and stuff like that, he made a couple glove saves on him throughout the series, so maybe more so ribbing through that through practice and stuff like that. But he's on our side now.
You guys are a contending team. You're going through this, and I'll go back to training camp where you and Billy G had that exchange about what's this season all about. And you're like, fun and work hard. And he's it's yeah. about winning. Does that have an effect on the team, or is it just fun?
No, I think with the passion that Billy has, and you saw the passion he had going through that speech. So you sort of just let him run through it, and he was going to go through a brick wall there. So just let him have the room. But he is such a passionate guy about the game. And like I said, he's gone through it as a player as well. So you can respect what he's saying. And he understands that obviously every night you're not going to be at your best, but as long as the effort's there, and that's what he demands out of us. And I think it breeds right down from him into Dean as well. He's a very intense guy who also played a lot of games and professionally and in the NHL. So the communication's always open with all of them, and that's great for players.
I know Dean, so I can say this. My favorite part of your games is when something goes a little sideways and the camera zooms in on him and he's just steaming.
Yeah, he has some good faces, that's for sure. So he keeps it actually pretty cool, though. So he gets intense, but at the same time, he can keep it under wraps pretty good.
You ever see the lips start moving just a little bit, but nothing else is? And you're wondering
he's on the front end side, so we don't see it as much. I'm sure the forwards get the brunt of it, but we're with Woodsy more so than him.
What are your expectations now after the trade deadline? Can you handicap maybe the Central and what happened in the West?
Yeah, I think. Well, the Central is so close. Obviously, every game is meaning so much right now with the points and division matchups. So, like I said, the excitement of bringing in and what we feel like getting better and it, just filling out our lineup is exciting, but there's still a lot of work left to be done and a lot of jostling for positions, whether it's home ice or just the playoff picture in general. It's so tight and every day it seems to be changing. So just for ourselves is worrying about perfecting our game and the identity that we have, and we can only worry about ourselves.
Do you watch and analyze what the other teams were doing?
A little bit, but you're, like I said, we're worried about us and the way we play the
game.
That's
hockey player speak. I'm curious about you.
Yeah, you watch. Obviously, when you're a kid growing up, you watch it. It's a little bit different when you're actually in the business and friends are moving back and forth. But you see moves guys are making, and then obviously Billy goes out and does his thing as well. So I'm sure they're looking at us in the same way we're looking at them.
Do you have a role as captain when you acquire the four different guys at the trade deadline? Do you pick up guys at the airport? Are you looking after, like, how do you structure it?
Yeah, immediately reach out and welcome them and obviously let them know if they have any questions or concerns or anything, family members and wives, kids, stuff like that. Just make them feel welcome coming to the team. And Andrew Hyde, our team personnel guy, does such a good job of including the family right away that I feel that they feel right at home with our team here. And just getting maybe a 10, 15 minute conversation right away just to sort of break the ice so that they at least feel they know one person coming in.
Is it a little confusing with the team text group? The team text groups are always the most important thing.
Yeah, we have a good one. So it's pretty active. So once the guys get in there, there always seems to be a couple jabs going back and forth daily. So that's a good way to get into the team and make your name known. That's for sure.
Yeah. Delory is not shy.
No, I feel like he's been here for forever. He was right in there leading the charge. So I think it helps with him and Marcus Foligno playing together as well. And they were sort of going back and forth right away. So brought himself in nicely.
Boy, that's some sandpaper, isn't it? Having those two guys on up front.
Yeah, and they both can play as well, which is the awesome thing. They're both very responsibly defensively, but can move as well. They're good skaters and can play. And obviously, just seeing D'Lo score that goal, the first one for us the other night, just the excitement on the bench. And it's contagious just to see the smile of him flying by the bench after that goal. It was pretty fun to see.
One of the happiest moments I've ever seen a player in the league. Like, he was just, you didn't have to wonder about who scored the goal. Let's just say that.
Yeah, he had a good celebration, that's for sure.
You've never been traded before. So how do you walk through this and balancing all the different things that people go through?
Yeah, I think for me, I went to New York Islanders training camp and my first couple of years, and then coming here, you sort of come in and you don't know anyone from the training staff to any players. I think I knew maybe one or two guys I'd played with in junior at the time. So just getting to know them, but just walking in, like I said, and feeling like you know at least one person in the room, whether it's that phone call that does it or just text messages back and forth if you have any questions about the city or where to live or anything like that, just so that you do feel comfortable and have someone to go talk to. But you have such a welcoming group and a bunch of leaders in that room that I like to think that they all made them feel comfortable.
Sell me on Minneapolis, St. Paul. Give me the pitch that you said to Nick and Flower and Tyson.
I think it's a hidden gem. There's a lot of good here. Downtown, great restaurants, good food city. I think obviously, like I said earlier, it's snowing today, but the weather's actually not bad. So once we get away from the snow, it's an active city. There's so much to do. And obviously the fan base here is amazing. They believe in us. And this year especially, I think they've been better than ever in the last couple of years, just with the excitement and the crowd level, the noise that they bring every night.
Billy G's not the most traditional general manager. Do you like that? Like he's always around, or he seems to always be around.
Yeah, he's very present, which is nice. Like I said, the communication with him is always open. Whether you're eating breakfast or eating lunch, he'll come sit with you and just joke around. But then when it's business, when he comes to talk to you as well. So, but at the same time, it's great having that relationship that you can talk on a personal level as well, and not just always about hockey. And if you have questions, problems, you can always bring them up to him. But yeah, he's around a lot more than any other general manager I've ever had.
Freedom to say anything you want? Are you allowed to beak back and forth with him, or is there that line with the boss?
No, he's pretty vocal that way. So, but he's good at it too. So you sort of let him have his way sometimes. That's for sure. But
I thought it was unusual that you guys did a deal with Colorado. Did you see the same thing?
I guess, but we had one last year as well. So I think at the same time, from the outside looking in, obviously it's a bit different with a division team, but at the same time, Billy was addressing a need that he thought we had.
What do you do when you're not playing hockey?
Pretty busy. We have four kids, so ripping around from rink to soccer fields, everything. So away from the house, it's pretty busy. So I don't know how my wife does it when we're on the road and everything like that. But in the summer, I like to get away to the cabin. We have a place about an hour out of Edmonton where my wife and myself both grew up. So able to see family during the summer. My brother's away playing hockey, and then we both have other siblings that are still in the city. So that's pretty much it. Golf every once in a while, but nothing too crazy.
Where's the cabin? And I can, by the way, I can tell you're a Western guy because you say cabin and not cottage.
Yeah. It's about an hour west of Edmonton. So towards Jasper that way. So it's, my wife had a family cabin out there growing up, and I had one, not the same lake, but grew up on a cabin in the summer and just creating those memories with family. So with having kids herself, we wanted to create that for them as well.
Do you wakeboard or ski?
I'm more of the surfer. It's easier on the body.
Oh, you're the
wake surf. You just
how long did it take you to figure that out?
I still haven't figured it out. So I just get up behind there and hang on for dear life, let go of the rope every once in a while. But a bit easier on the body when you go down than wakeboarding and skiing.
Who drives the boat?
So it depends on who's on there. We can switch off, but those things drive themselves nowadays.
Oh, really? They can go auto? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so you just sort of put out there. You can sort of set skiers, I guess, or surfers, and each like 1 through 5 or whatever you have, and just sort of click on it, and then you just pretty much steer it there, and they create the wake for you.
Takes all the adventure out of it when you get the lunatic who's never driven a boat before and going Mach 5.
A lot of family fights with my mom and dad with skiing and ripping the rope right out of the hands.
Yeah, exactly. How's Tyler?
He's doing great. So they just unfortunately lost out of their playoffs last week. So they had already started that in Germany. So he's doing good.
Does it feel like a normal season again? We're not all the way through this COVID situation, but you guys are loading up for trade deadline. We're playing 82 games. Does it feel like we're back into the swing of things?
Yeah, definitely. I think just with the fan wise, obviously every building last year with it being different, you could go from, at least for us, you'd go to Vegas and it'd be full, and then you'd come back and we'd only have 3,000. So obviously that, and just being able to do stuff as a team outside of hockey is such an important thing to the team aspect, especially when you do get new players, especially around now. So just the bonding outside the rink. And like I said, if they have families or wives to bring them in and make them feel comfortable. So that's definitely huge. And I feel like we're on the right side of things now.
You guys had a great experience last year. Are the expectations different than last year?
Yeah, I think obviously the expectations are to go farther every single year. And but the one thing on our mind is winning. And obviously last year was just such a weird year with protocols and going through. Our team had an outbreak pretty early in the year. So just not knowing when you're getting the games in and everything like that. And it was just a more difficult year, that being said. But then this year, just the excitement of having that normalcy back and having full buildings, whether being able to go do your normal things and get normal routines, whether you're on the road and the normal schedule where you're sort of bouncing around instead of the baseball style and settled down into a city for a week at a time. But obviously the expectation for us is to win.
Did you like the baseball schedule?
I actually didn't mind it.
It was
nice
it on
the body. So just obviously some nights not getting in at 4 a.m. and then playing the next day is ideal for us, but they chose to go back to the old way.
Do you think we could see a hybrid of it? Because you're not the only one that I've heard that enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a way to maybe incorporate it a bit differently, especially if you're maybe going to a division team where you're playing them twice to three times a year anyway. So maybe not go to back-to-back there right away instead of coming three separate times or something like that. But it's also just nice to be able to go around to every city this year instead of just your whatever division you were in compared to last year.
What gets under your skin more, Hartman beaking or Kaprizov doing the heel to heel spinorama?
I don't know. I think watching Kirill do his heel to heel is pretty special. After about the second time, he sort of just stops skating and just like, okay, he's either going to shoot it or he's going to hit someone backdoor. So he sort of just try and get open and sit there. But he's such a threatening player when he's doing that. It's something I haven't seen before.
When he starts going around, I feel like they should play carnival music inside the arena when he's doing the laps around the zone.
Well, yeah, and he seems to get faster with every lap he goes to. And he's just so, like I said, he's such a threat. You don't know if he's going to shoot, he's going to pass. And it's, like I said, special to watch.
What do you do when you're in the zone at that time? You're obviously on the blue line, but...
Yeah, you get out of the way. Just sort of decoy, skate through, maybe try and draw one more person to you, even though they're all watching him too. So just get out of his way. And like I said, if you're lucky enough to find yourself backdoor, be ready for a pass as well.
I was told that you were the smartest player to ever play for the Spokane Chiefs. Why would somebody call you that?
They're being too nice. Obviously, my time in Spokane was awesome. From Bobby Brett down to Tim Speltz, the GM there as well. I have nothing but great things. Obviously, coming in my first year, we had Bill Peters come in as a coach and sort of changed the culture there. And then we went from winning, I think it was my first year, we won like 15 games. And then third year, we ended up winning it all. So just the transformation and the team that we had there, we didn't have many like superstars or tons of guys to go on. I think there was only four of us that continued on after that with Mitch Wall, Tyler Johnson. We had Justin Falk and Drayson Bowman as well, but Dustin Tokarski and Nett. But it was just such a fun time. They treat you first class and the building was great. And that playoff run we had, we played Tri-Cities in the conference final, and just to have about 8,000 to 10,000 people fill up our arena it was pretty cool for us at that time.
Do you feel like a rock star?
In Spokane, it was awesome. They, like I said, they treated you well. And especially if you beat Tri-Cities, they're very happy with you, with that being the big rivalry. So Bobby Brett, like I said, he treats the players very well there, and the organization's first class.
Where's your ring?
It's actually in my closet here. So I have a little, my mom got myself a little case to hold it. My brother, he won one as well. So we both have similar cases, and it's a sort of a glass case that is propped up on. So I have it in my closet here with my first game puck and some other mementos.
That's very cool that your mom, your mom did the setup.
Yeah. So we got the ring, but she got sort of a glass enclosure for us that said the year and everything like that. So it was awesome.
Moms are so good, aren't they?
Yeah, they're very thoughtful, that's for sure. And I think she felt obligated once she got my brother the one, so she had to do it for me as well.
do you ever wonder, like, now that you're going through it as a dad, and you and your wife around the kids around, how crazy it was for your parents at a time when there wasn't phones everywhere, and they still had phones in the wall then.
Yeah, no, we had the toll-free call card for everyone in our family, so wouldn't run up the minutes. But no, I don't. Now I know why they were so worried when I left my first year. So not that I was a bad kid, but just you feel like you're so young now. Looking back at you, look at your kids, and you're just like, I left at this age. I think I was 15, turning 16 when I left. So it's definitely it was easier on them that my brother had done it in the past a couple years earlier, but at the same time, it definitely was hard on them, and now I can see why.
Good luck riding the wave. Let's hope that that there's no falling like the wake surfing,
Yeah.
and keep it going. This has been a lot of fun catching up with you, and say hi to your coach for me.
I will. Thanks for having me.
Been waiting to talk to Jared for a while, and in just poking around and chatting with the different people. Tim Speltz was one person that that I leaned on, the former general manager of the Spokane Chiefs, who's now the general manager of the Henderson Silver Knights in Vegas. Just said that the Spokane Chiefs winning percentage with Jared in the lineup was an all-time high. He's a pure winner and a leader, and that's where the smartest guy to ever play for the franchise came from. And Dean Evason, the coach, said you can't find a better human being. Like, honestly, just was effusive with his praise about Jared Spurgeon. And I've talked to enough people in hockey that will say things, but you know that they're saying things because they should be saying things. And that wasn't the case with Dean Evason, because he took time out of his day in having a day off. Whether he was hitting some golf balls, probably shouldn't say that, but he was hitting some golf balls, and was still willing to write back and tell me what was going on. So really cool situation happening in Minnesota. I love that they loaded up. I know there's some dead cap space in the next couple of years, and we told you we were the first ones on the Chirp with Darren Millard to say watch out for Minnesota and Marc-Andre Fleury. We were ahead of the curve on that. And it just made so much sense. So this is why you listen to the program, and then we're going to give you some analysis right now. Post-trade deadline on what happened. Tampa, Florida, Carolina. Incredible what's going on in the Eastern Conference. Tampa, Florida, if we don't get that series in the Stanley Cup playoffs, it's going to be a real disappointment, just with the two goaltenders going head-to-head and all the load-up between Tampa Bay and then the Florida Panthers. Trying to win a series for the first time since 1996. And what they've done has just been remarkable. And they play such an up-tempo type of game. We're going to talk to Andrew Burnett next week and get inside what's going on with his team. But just a remarkable effort between the step forward last year and now being that true contender. Just wonder, do you have to get some experience in the Stanley Cup playoffs going a round or two before you're able to go all the way like Tampa Bay did in 2015, going to the final and then going through a couple of different experiences? I'm curious. We'll see what happens there. In the West, Edmonton obviously didn't make the big move, but Calgary, Minnesota, and Colorado, I don't know whether the balance of power swung at all. Maybe Minnesota gets better than the rest. It's really hard to say that they got closer to Colorado in the Western Conference. Calgary is another one of those teams have had little or no adversity this year. So can they? Is it going to just be that dream season? Calgary and Colorado seem to be the two teams that are separate from everybody else and added and bulked up. And then you've got that next tier with the Minnesota Wild. Teams that I'm wondering about, like Boston, Pittsburgh, and Edmonton, all added but didn't go big. But they could be one of those subtle additions. Boston is going to be fascinating to watch. Pittsburgh, one more run with that group. And Edmonton, I don't know. Like, that's my analysis. I don't know. You can write that down. Not everybody's going to give you the I don't know. They just want to entertain you, or they want to impress you. I don't know, is the most honest thing I can tell you about. But if Edmonton or Toronto or Washington don't go deep, whether it's right or wrong, goaltending is going to be to blame. And that's just a simple fact of the matter. And Washington, everybody talked about being in with Marc-Andre Fleury. I didn't see it, but Derek last week on this podcast was talking about Marc-Andre Fleury. I just thought that the price tag was going to be too high for the Washington Capitals. Toronto, who knows where their goaltending is going to be. Edmonton, we know it's going to be one of three guys. And I thought it was interesting that that the general manager, Kenny Holland, mentioned we got three guys we like. You don't usually – that's how fluid the situation is in Edmonton right now, that the general manager is talking about Mike Smith and Mikko Koskinen and also throwing in Skinner as their American Hockey League goaltender and third guy into the mix. It's that much of an unknown. And I could see all three guys playing in the Stanley Cup playoffs like Florida did last year with that series against the Tampa Bay Lightning. We'll watch. Vegas didn't do anything. The Dodonov situation, which hopefully is clarified at some point in the near future, they want to get healthy. If they can get healthy, boy, again, they've been to back-to-back third rounds of the Stanley Cup playoffs, not ruling anything out on that side of it. And if you're going to take a dark horse, like that's my dark horse. I like St. Louis. I really do like St. Louis, but Vegas, if they can get healthy, would be my dark horse because just they've never been healthy. And if they ever did that, it'd be unique for this year. And in the East, talking dark horses, like the whole conference outside of Tampa, Florida, Carolina feels like a dark horse. Like Toronto, can you be a dark horse with all those star players? Yeah, when you haven't won a series in so long, for sure. And with the goaltending makeup the way it is, for sure. But that would be kind of one where I'm waiting. That'll be the most fascinating team to watch in the Eastern Conference. Now, the most entertaining trade, the biggest trade at the deadline. Marc-Andre Fleury? Nope. Was it Brandon Hagel leading up to the deadline? Nope. It was the trading of barbs between the two general managers. Like, that was awesome. Toronto and Chicago going back and forth, and Kyle Dubas, who's on the hot seat right now, trying to put together a team that can win, just reaching out and saying that he wasn't impressed with that conversation that he had with Kyle Davidson of the Chicago Blackhawks about Marc-Andre Fleury getting made public. And it was a back and forth, not a snippy back and forth, but it was really good to hear that. And Davidson saying he was aware of Kyle's comments and would address it personally. I don't know whether they're renting a barn like Kevin Lowe and Brian Burke were going to do, but it was good. I enjoyed it. And I'd like to see more of it. Managers talking smack about managers out there. Chicago's, they sold off young and old. And I never thought that Taves or Kane would play for another franchise. I'm not sure now. We'll see. That'll be a conversation for the summer. And Patrick Kane's got so much game left. And the comments from Jonathan Taves about being frustrated and disappointed, I thought they would be included in all of that. When they trade Hagel, that changed everything. So there's some trade deadline comments moving forward. Los Angeles is still there. Didn't do a lot. I don't know whether the Doughty's in flux. So let's see what happens on that front. But we'll talk to Andrew Burnett. They always say, don't talk about Bruno. You know, the Encanto. We're going to talk to Bruno next week on the Chirp with Darren Millard. Make sure you hit that smash, that like button, hammer it, share it. Make sure you let everybody know what's going on with the Chirp with Darren Millard. And we'll talk to you next week as we head down the stretch drive of the National Hockey League season. Peace out.